I'm starting a series called Choose It or Lose It. Choose It or Lose It. Now, let me share with you kind of where this is coming from, because I want to give you the prep. Part of what we're really big on in teaching in our church, so that we get a hold of it and our lives can be changed, is your identity in Jesus. Here's the mystical part. Not that it's mystical, but it's mystical to us. Because as long as I have taught this, I have not gotten the full revelation yet. It gets bigger, bigger and bigger and bigger. When I was in Bible school, I mean, it shook, it rocked my world when I began to learn about my identity. Hallelujah. That I got through the grace of God by faith. When that happened, everything began to change. Here's my encouragement to you all. When you learn and think you know everything about your identity in Jesus Christ, stop, because I'm going to tell you, you don't. The revelation that I continue to get, and I've taught this for a lot of years, but the revelation that I continue to get in my identity in Jesus Christ continues to grow and grow and get deeper and get bigger. And I want to tell you that this series is a part of the download, because I've been praying that the Lord give me, it's so spectacular, that the Lord give me the right words to convey the depth of this. Once you get this, I mean, really begin to get it, it changes everything in our lives. Because every single thing in our lives, everything that God has promised by His grace, everything, every healing, every deliverance, every bit of prosperity, every bit of the righteousness we live in, every freedom from condemnation. You know, how many know that regret, ever thought about, I've got regrets in my life. And at times they've been like it's like a blowtorch when I think about them. Anybody else?
Yes.
Can you live free from this?
Yes.
Once you know your identity in Jesus. This isn't just a mental knowledge. This isn't, okay, I've got the scripture. I've memorized and memorized and memorized, and I can quote it back and forth. It isn't only that. But you see, the reality of this whole aspect of our identity and everything, every promise of God comes out of that. You know, it's so easy to live in the victory once you know your identity. And we teach this, but when it becomes real, when it becomes real to us, everything changes. And it becomes easy to receive healing. It becomes easy to grow in prosperity. It becomes easy to live in righteousness. It becomes easy to be bold. It becomes easy to do what God's called us to do and given us to do. It becomes easy to live this out because of who we are now. Now, God gave us an imagination, right? That's God-given. We have an imagination that is a picture builder. We have built pictures of ourselves and who we are that are absolutely flat wrong. They're destructive. They resist the Word of God. These identities that we've carried and built in our lives, in our minds, and in our hearts, we have nurtured them. In spite of the fact that we know that they're not true mentally, but we haven't grasped this in our hearts because we haven't built the picture of the new. We've done nothing to grab a hold of. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
My heart is to give through this series something to grab a hold of. This is the Christmas gift that Jesus came to give to us. Our new identity. Would you go please, with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, I'm going to read this. Now, please hear this. The eyeglasses or the microscope or the telescope or however you want to look at this, look through, I want you to begin to look through the understanding of being a new creation. You may not know what a new creation looks like personally to you, but that's what I want to build through this series, okay? But begin to think this way. New identity. Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. And let me preface. The Lord is speaking to Israel. What the Lord is doing is building in Israel an identity. Who they are. Who he made them to be. As a nation and as individuals. And he says, verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep his commandments, keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give to you. There's a lot of parallels between Israel and the United States. I'm not going to spend time on that right now. The Lord will open to you his good treasure in the heavens to give you the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Now here is where I wanted to get to. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. This is an identity change. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, we'll stop there. You are to be above, not beneath. You are to be the head and not the tail. When you run this through the cross and what Jesus accomplished, this is where he, as he set aside Israel, you know, when God has been trying to get our identity, get the identity back to man that he gave to Adam and Eve originally, since the beginning, since Adam and Eve gave it away, their identity in him. God called Israel out of Egypt. They were mixed with all kinds of false idol worship and false culture and things that would or really were harmful. And he said, I'm going to set you apart and I'm going to make in you or with you or for you a new identity. And here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to get this back to my people if you'll do this, what I'm asking. If you'll follow it and follow my word, I will set you above, not beneath. Be the head and not the tail. It is an identity change. So God did this with Israel. Just as when we got born again, if you're born again, and Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have transitioned into an identity change. Now, you've gone as far as you can go in your understanding. You've gone as far as you can go in your imagination, your picture. You've gone as far as you can go in your knowledge base of what this is or your revelation of what this means. All of us have. It gets deeper, bigger, wider, and it has an effect in every facet of your life. This identity change that the Lord has given us through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, through being born again, the magnitude of it is hard for us to grasp. It is a transition. This identity in Him and with Him has been from the beginning God's intent. So all through the Word of God, He's been working with people to get this to them. Now would you go to, I want to go back to Genesis chapter 25 because I want to tell you a story. If you begin to look at, through the Word, this perspective of identity and God drawing people in, separating people to, calling them out to the identity that is different from the world around them so that they can live in the victories and blessings that He's given them. This is what this is all about. Genesis. And I'll give you the backdrop. God called Abraham out of Ur. He was an idol-worshipping person. Abram was his name. He called he and Sarah out of the land that they were in. He said, I want you to go and walk in the land that I've given you. Here, I'm going to take you here. I'm giving this to you. I'm going to shorten this up. I want you to follow me. Consequently, what the Lord did was separate Abram from his culture, from his family, and He began to build in him a different identity. This is where it began. Then He changed his name, and He called him Abraham, which for a guy with no kids, the Lord was making it different for him. Yeah. You're going to have a son in your old age with your wife who's old. So they had Isaac. And Abraham became the father of many nations. That was his name. Identity change. God's doing this. This is part of what He's working. Isaac married Rebekah. And Isaac, as his son, had an identity in God through Abraham. Rebekah had, after they got married, later on in life, they had two sons, twins, Jacob and Esau. Okay? Now, this was a highly dysfunctional family. Mama loved Jacob. Daddy loved Esau for different reasons. Those they played favorites. When Jacob and Esau were born, Esau was on his way out of the womb. Jacob, they saw him grab Esau's heel on the way out. And so they named Esau, according to what he looked like, he was hairy. We'll call him Hairy. Okay? And Jacob, or Jake, they named him according to what he did. Jacob means supplanter. Supplanter means to supersede or replace. Jacob, this is where I'm going with this. Jacob did something as a picture of what we need to do. And here it is. Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25, I'll start with verse 29. Now Jacob cooked a stew. Esau came in from the field and was weary. Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with some of that red stew. I'm weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, hey, look, I'm about to die. What's the birthright mean to me? Jacob said, swear to me, give me your word. This is an oath. As of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. And he ate and drank and arose and went his way. And Esau despised his birthright. He didn't give a rip. The birthright for the firstborn, Esau was firstborn of the twins. The birthright is the identity of the person. The birthright carries with it all the benefits of the family. It carries the hierarchy, carries the financial, carries the leadership aspect, carries the decision making. It carries the promises that come through the firstborn or to the firstborn. Now, Jacob made a decision. It was important to Jacob to have that birthright. So Jacob chose to take it. He took the identity that was Esau's because Esau did not care. Esau lived in a moment, like most people, live in a moment. Jacob said, this is important, and I'm taking it. I want it. And I'm going to replace the identity that I had as second birth with the identity of the firstborn. Now, these two guys, they had different personalities. They had different ways they did things. But the importance of the identity change to Jacob was huge. He understood. He understood the nature of the birthright and the meaning of the birthright, but it was the identity. Because your birthright was your identity. So he took it. He chose it. He lived for that new identity. That's how important that was to him. Esau, not caring, the Bible says it despised his birthright, he chose the less or the lesser identity. Jacob took a new identity, and Esau took the lesser, the one of the culture. Would you turn to Matthew chapter 10? Matthew chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I want to talk about this, how important this is. All around us are gender battles going on. Aren't they? And we think, silly, huh? It's cold in here. Thank you. These gender battles are going on. And it really what this is all about is it's trying to, the world, the culture, families, people are trying to fit an identity or place an identity onto somebody. I read in Texas, and some of you may have known this, but there's a husband and wife who are divorced, and they're going to court because they have two sons. One likes to be a boy and play with things and play with boys. One says, hey, once in a while it's okay to play with dolls. But mom is pushing to transition the one that likes to play with dolls once in a while into a girl at 7 years old. To begin it, start it, the puberty blockers and everything else. She is pushing an identity on this young man of her own volition, trying to get him to take an identity that is not his. And the father is fighting this. This is what the world does. This is, in a way, if we don't choose our identity, if we don't choose it, we will choose a lesser identity than what God has for us. Amen. By default. That is exactly what happens. That is how important the choice is that Jacob made. And Jacob was blessed and he went on. He was favored and he was wealthy and he was blessed and he inherited so much more and on and on and on. The benefits were tremendous. But he chose the identity that came from the birthright of the firstborn. He went after it. We don't go after our new identity. Am I right? We don't go after it because we don't have that picture in mind of what it really is.
That's right,
and what's ours. We don't go after it like Jacob did. Man, I'm tearing it up. I'll tell you what, I want it. I want everything that I can get. When what the Lord has opened up to me is that why are we settling for a lesser identity with zero benefits or with destruction than for what God has given to us? Because we do this all the time. If you do not choose your new identity, this higher identity, then you will settle for the lesser identity. You will lose out on the benefits, or at least some of them, of what God has for you with a new identity. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20, 39. Matthew 10, verse 39. Jesus was speaking about, this is probably one of the most powerful statements to me personally. He said, he who finds his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, when you read that, you think, okay, at first glance, all right, I'll surrender, absolute surrender to the Lord of my life. Right? Or it's being born again and I'm changing and God's changing me. I want to read to you, I'm going to paraphrase how the Greek puts this. And so we get a real feel for how Jesus meant this to us. What it means to our identity. He who acquires his lower life, chooses this lower identity, will be destroyed. Whoa. It will destroy him. God doesn't destroy him. The identity that we choose or settle for that is less than what he has given us hurts, destroys us. And he who destroys, loses, or destroys his lower life or his lesser identity, it is up to us to do this. He who destroys it for my sake will acquire the higher life, the higher identity, the identity that I have given him or her. Do you understand what's required of us? We choose to live in a lower identity, the identity the culture, or in this young boy's case, the mom, or whatever has the world and the culture has put on us. Even as Christians, we do this all the time. We choose to live in that identity, or we choose to live in that higher identity, that new identity that Jesus paid for us and gave us as a gift. One or the other, we choose it, and we go after it. I've been meditating on this for a while, and I've got to tell you, I wish I could download everything that's going on inside of me, and I don't have a whole lot of time. That's the problem with Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings are not enough time to download everything. That's why I encourage you to come to the classes. We do not grasp the understanding and life-changing importance of choosing our new identity. We kind of go along with it, get born again, we go along with, okay, I'm a new creation. And we're just floating, but we're not going after it. We're not choosing every facet of it by choice. We're not living in it. When we transitioned from the world view of our identity into the kingdom view inside us, we didn't get the whole picture. It is important that we pursue this picture. Our feelings, our culture, our families, our money, our job, our education, the world around us would substitute a lesser ID, and we, if we don't choose that higher identity, that's what we will end up with. William Shakespeare in Hamlet said these famous words, to be or not to be? That is the question. Bet you never thought I'd quote Shakespeare, did you? To be or not to be, that is the question. What are you going to choose? The reason we struggle with righteousness, or what I call the blowtorch of regret or condemnation or receiving healing, seeing the miracles, the signs and wonders, living in the power of God. I love Todd White. Power of God. By the way, he's coming in 2021. We'll talk about it later. Walking and living in the power of God. I mean, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Boldness. I am, by nature, my old identity, I am absolutely an introvert. You'd never know it, would you?
No.
I've embraced my new ID, my new identity. Man, I can't do this on my own the way I was. The faith of Jesus, the greater works he spoke about in John chapter 14. You're going to do the greater works. And you think, well, what are the greater works? More than what he did. And he healed the sick, he raised the dead, cast out devils, he taught, he preached, he got people to the point where they could get born again. I mean, he fed thousands with next to nothing, and on and on and on and on. He reached people's lives. He stood for righteousness. Lived out the victory fully from A to Z. The way he lived as the Son of Man and everything he did, we can do greater. We can do more. Because of who we are now. And yet we limit who we are by accepting a lesser identity, a lower identity, and living in that rather than living in that higher identity that he has given us. Man, we don't have to do that anymore. But we have to choose our new identity and go after it. I'm talking like a pit bull. Because everything in this world wants to substitute something less to us. It's so much easier to receive healing when you understand who you are. You get this first, you can receive healing. You can go to prayer and see miracles. You can be bold. You can apply faith. There's no limit because of who you are. I look in the mirror and I see the same old face and the same old goatee and the same old. But you know what? I go to the mirror of what the Word says about my identity and who I am. Now that's who I see. That's my heart, is that we all begin to do that because God wants to rock this boat. Okay? The promises of God are real and they are tangible. The only reason that they're elusive in our lives is because we don't know who we are and we have not chosen our new identity. We haven't gone after it like Jacob went after his. Even when difficult things come into our lives, you know they fall off. When we know who we are. This is serious stuff. It doesn't have to hang on, drag on, because our identity is bigger than this stuff in Jesus. Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, verse 6. Says, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk and live and remain in Him. That means live in his new identity to you. I want to paint the picture of what this identity looks like, because I think this is the part where our imagination gets involved, has to get involved, and has to get in touch with who we really are. Anybody not read the Gospels? Don't raise your hands. You've got to get a picture of Jesus. Jesus lived, was born, and lived on this earth as the Son of Man. Not the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He lived as the Son of Man. He did everything as a man to show us the identity that we have in him. Everything he did as the Son of Man, we can do, because that is our identity. Amen. Jesus wasn't sick. He wasn't poor. He wasn't depressed. He wasn't sad. He wasn't worried. He wasn't anxious. He didn't live that way. But he lived the identity that the Lord has given us. The same thing. So when you read the Word and you look in the mirror of the Word for who you are, you look at Jesus as the Son of Man. We are not, let me get this clear, because somebody will take this and take it on a podcast and twist it. We're not God. Okay? But we are in Jesus. God has stuffed our lives into him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This got more powerful to me. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything in my identity is made up of who he is, not me. So when I read the Word, I'm looking at him and going, that's my identity. That is my identity. I get the picture of my identity in him as the Son of Man. If you can allow the Word to begin to build the picture of Jesus and who he is in your mind, you have that identity. That's who you are. Every time something comes to us, comes against us, every disease, every sickness, every feeling that is contrary to that identity is a challenge. And is challenging you to live in the less identity. Saying, take that on. That's what destroys us. That's what hurts us. That's why the enemy challenged Jesus' identity in the temptation. When Jesus was tempted in the desert. This is highly important. This is crucial to our lives. Our identity is one of the greatest factors of life as a Christian. It's where we miss it the most. I can't stress this enough. Man, I've prayed for people and seen healings and seen miracles regularly for many years now. And it's not a big deal for the Lord to do these things. But when you live in your identity, this higher life that Jesus said we have, and you choose it over any other challenge that tries to come, you're going to see victories in your life that you never dreamed of. You're going to see the greater works in your life you never thought could happen. When you speak in authority, it's the authority of Jesus Christ. Things have to change. Because of your new higher identity that you've chosen to live in. I was meditating on, I can't tell you how many times I've read the Gospel of Mark. And I read through the Bible, I don't know, half a dozen times a year or somewhere around there. On top of my studies, and I'm reading through the Gospel of Mark, and I want to give you an example or some examples to think about. In Mark chapter 5, Jesus went to Gadara, delivered an incredibly demon-possessed, whacked man, cast it out, set him free. Then he came across the lake, and a woman with a bleeding issue, who for a dozen years had been bleeding and lost everything to physicians, touched the hem of his garment and was healed by faith. And then he went to a leader in the synagogue's house who had a daughter who died. And he raised her up. He's showing us every single one of those people had their identity changed instantly. Jesus changes identities. And what he's given to us after the cross, the burial and resurrection, and the victory that he paid for, the same thing. That new identity, and to be able to reach others the way he did. That's why John's gospel, the woman who was caught in adultery, brought to Jesus and said, I don't condemn you. She was supposed to be stoned to death along with the gentleman that she had an affair with. But he changed her identity instantly. The paralytic that was dropped in front of him on the bed, couldn't get up, and he said, your sins are forgiven. He changed his identity immediately. And it goes on and on and on. God is in the business of changing identities if we'll take hold of it. Choose it instead of choosing the lesser. If you don't choose the higher, a lesser identity will be chosen for you by default. And how do you do this? How do you choose this new identity? Build the picture of who you are. Just read about Jesus. Man, I love the epistles. I love the letters. I love the fact of Romans and Galatians have blessed me and blessed me and blessed me in the reality of God's grace to us. But if we don't get the picture of our identity by reading the Gospels and really focusing on Jesus, we're going to struggle with some of these things that God has given us by grace. It's not going to click. When you know who you are and you've chosen it, I mean chosen it, gone after it, let it permeate you, and you become that identity, the word comes alive, things will change, you're going to see differences in your life. So you have to choose it. Every time that you're presented with a challenge to your identity, your real identity, from now on, every single time that this challenge wants you to take a lesser identity, you have to deny it and choose that new, higher identity. Next, number three, you have to feed your new identity. You understand what I'm saying? You got to feed it. Whatever you feed grows. And whatever you starve dies. This is what Jesus was speaking about. You got to destroy that old one. Come on. I mean destroy it. I'm talking about nuke it. Come on. Doesn't belong to you. Come on. You choose that new ID and you feed that new ID with the Word of God and the truth of the Word. Who you are, that's your mirror. And you get a picture of your new identity forever. Okay? That's our Christmas gift from the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our new identity is the best gift. You're born again. It means, okay, I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. Great. How do I live the rest of this life out? You choose your new identity and you go after it. And you lose the other one. Okay? Stand with me, please. Prayer team, come on up. Now, here's my question. Where would you go if you died today? In reality. Do you know? Do you really know? Are you assured? If you died right now, or you walked out the door and you fell over on the cement, where would you go? Heaven and hell are real. This is not to condemn or scare anybody. It's real. If you have any doubts, it's really easy to enter the kingdom of heaven and know where you want to go, know where he has for you, and get it cemented in your mind and your heart, and be at peace and be at ease. You will know beyond a shadow of a doubt, heaven is your home. Please come and talk to one of these two up here today, and they'll talk to you about it. They'll tell you what this is all about, and they'll lead you right into the kingdom. Now, a part of our new identity is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God has given us power inside of us and authority, given us the Holy Spirit, which has wiped away every sin and keeps us righteous. And he's also given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is his power to us and through us. Same thing Jesus walked in. It's a part of our identity. The baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues is a part of being able to release the power of God and see the power of God work in our lives. If you do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you are missing part of your real identity. Go after it. Come and see these two. They'll pray for you. You'll get it. Next, if you have a problem with receiving your new identity, please come and see them, and they will pray for you. I'm telling you, God wants to move so mightily on your behalf. If there's any other need you have, come and see them. These two and all our prayer team. Move in miracles. Okay? It's Christmas time. God's got so much for you. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you so much for today, for our church, for our people. Thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Help us walk and live all the time in our new and higher identity and lose the old one. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.